supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
8346-9499. Lorraine, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hi, Mike. I am calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania, and I need some help with some dahlias. I am presently in the process of moving, and I want to remove some dahlias before the move because I cannot return after the move. I've grown dahlias for many years. You're not supposed to lift them until about a week after the frost has killed the foliage on top. And so I'm looking for help of what I could do to preserve these. What, you know, I want to, I guess I have to lift them if I want to take them with me.
Okay. Now, so you're growing dahlias in the ground. You've been doing it for many years. And after
right.
frost comes, you dig up the plants, store them inside, and you've had good success with that.
Exactly.
And has the house been sold?
Our house has been sold.
Do you have permission to remove these plants?
Yes.
And your dahlias right now, are they in full flower, full greenery?
Oh, they're at peak. They're at peak flowering right
okay.
now.
All right. I don't think this is going to damage them.
Okay.
So what I want you to do, as soon as possible, I want you to get a big bag of professional mix, ProMix. What do you typically store your dahlias in over winter? The tubers. I should mention to our listeners who don't understand that dahlias and tuberous begonias are tropical plants with huge, beautiful flowers that grow from an underground tuber, and the tuber has to be protected from frost. So at the end of the season, you, quote, lift it, take it out of the ground, and then people store it in things like peat moss or perlite or some other thing over winter and replant them in the spring. What do you store yours in?
I had good success in keeping mine just in a cardboard box, heavily insulated with newspaper in my garage on the house side of the garage, the wall between the house and the garage. Because my basement isn't cold enough and I don't have a cold cellar, that's my only option. And I've had good luck with that.
Okay, well, they don't need cold. They don't need a chilling period.
Okay.
First, I want you to get big pots.
Okay.
And I want you to fill them. Or actually, I want you to take the big pots to the house and then get a couple of, if these are big plants, I want you to get some help and make shovel holes like a foot away from the plant. Try to get down deep enough that you get underneath the root system.
Mm-hmm.
Drop the living plant into the pot. Fill in,
okay.
if you need to, the bottom of the pot and the sides with what's called a soil-free mix, a nice light mix of just peat, perlite, vermiculite, and compost. Don't buy potting soils that have any kind of chemical fertilizers or water-holding crystals in them.
Okay.
And then water the hell out of it and
uh-huh.
do that for all your plants. And do this right away and then let them sit in the pots for a couple of
okay.
days to a week. And then move the pots to the new location. If you have anything like a bay window, like a conservatory window, an area that gets really bright light, these plants do not need a dormant period. You can actually grow them inside and enjoy those flowers over the winter, and then simply move the pots outside in the summertime. Otherwise, take them home. Leave the pots sit outside until we get our first frost, and you know what happens. The greenery turns black, and the tuber begins to go dormant, and then
okay.
store them. You can even store them in this soil-free mix in the pots, in the cellar or the garage or whatever you're going to do in your new location.
Okay.
But I would lift them as living plants. I would keep them alive. I would water them. I would then let them stabilize where they are. I would not subject them to moving. Come back like a couple of days to a week later. And then when you move them, make sure they're not in an open truck or anything where they get exposed to wind. Make sure they're in an enclosed vehicle. And when you get them to your new place, put them outside and just let them act as if they were in the ground. And then next spring, if that's what you choose to do, you'll replant them in the soil outside and just go back to your old schedule.
Okay. Thank you so much for your help. I'll try that.
A very interesting question. Thank you, Lorraine.
Bye-bye.
1-888-346-9499. Tom, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
How are you, Michael?
I am doing just fine today, Tom. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm calling from Cincinnati, Ohio. Oh,
very good.
The home of the Central Division champions in baseball, not the Nats. We're talking Cincinnati Reds, so we're pretty proud of them down here. And we would like them to win the World Series.
You should be very proud of the big red machine, the new big red machine. I'm fighting for the Nationals because they're the underdogs. Anybody but the American League. Anyone can win as long as they're in the National League.
We're in agreement on that.
What can we do for Tom, a true fan in Cincinnati?
I planted some asparagus starts this year, and I'm proud to say they came up. I have lots and lots of green, wispy asparagus plants. I was told to let them go for 3 years before I start to harvest. So I am. What I don't want to do is screw it up somehow and not take care of them in the interim years. And so I was looking to see, how do I prepare them for the winter, and what do I do in these next couple years to make sure my third year gives me a really brilliant harvest?
Well, I'm going to give you a taste next year, man. I'm not going to be mean like those other people. We're going to make your pee smell funny. But you have already done the right thing, because I'm sensing from what you said that the fronds, the fern-like appendages, are still up in your asparagus patch.
They are.
That is so important. So you planted your crowns, and you got some shoots come up, and you didn't harvest any of them, right?
None.
What a good boy you are. And you let them all go to frond, and so you have this bed covered with what is essentially the solar panels of that collected energy all this summer to fuel your asparagus futures. It's really no exaggeration to say that this summer you went on the right path to guarantee yourself asparagus for decades to come by leaving those plants collect all the solar energy they could.
Excellent.
So there's two schools of thought here. Once a frost comes along, some people will take down the fronds. My feeling is you should leave them in place, because they're actually going to help keep your mulch in place and help insulate the underground bed. So after your leaves come down, I want you, if you don't have anything that can shred up leaves, I want you to go out and buy a simple leaf blower that has a reverse setting, so it can be a leaf vacuum and a collection bag. And when your leaves come down, just use that to suck up the leaves, and then empty the bag on the asparagus bed until you got about a 2-inch layer of mulch on top.
Okay, right up to the plant itself?
Yes. In this case, you want that plant to help you, to help the mulch stay in place. You also want to make sure you do no injury to the underground root system, the crowns. And then when we get to late winter, very early spring, as soon as the days start to warm up, I want you to go out and very carefully, with like the nicest, like a silk rake, you know, you want to go out and you want to gently remove all that mulch so the soil warms up. And at that point, you definitely want to remove any fronds that are still standing from the year before. And then you will get a new run of spears. I give you permission to harvest, let's say, 10% of your spears. How many spears did you get your first year?
Oh, gosh.
Roughly.
Probably 50.
Okay. So you can have 4 or 5 this second year. Don't go nuts. The less you harvest, the better it is long term. But you'd be crazy not to taste it.
Okay.
And then do the same thing. Allow the remaining spears to develop their fronds. and do the same thing whereby you mulch them with shredded leaves. And again, very important to get any kind of a leaf mulch or any kind of mulch off a bed like this very early in the season, because the idea of the mulch is keeping the soil temperature constant over the winter, and it won't warm up unless you remove that mulch. And you want to remove it early, ideally even before the first spear appears, so that you don't damage any spears as they're coming up. So you want to be gentle, you want to be early, get the sun on that bed. After a lot of spears are up, you want to take either some those same leaves or some bagged leaves that you've saved, double shred them, and spread them over the bed. The asparagus spears will push up through a light mulch, but it'll help you control weeds, which are the big enemy of any asparagus grower. And then the third year, as the spears come up, you can harvest as much as you can eat until the new spears emerging from the ground are as thin as a pencil. Once they get that skinny, you stop harvesting and let the remaining spears come up. And that's your rule going forward for decades. Harvest until the new spears are about the size of a pencil, meaning the roots are starting to get tarred. Make sure you give it a good feeding with compost or well-composted horse manure every year after you're done harvesting. All right, man?
Thank you, Michael. Thank you.
Good luck, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, that was the recorded Mike McGrath. I'm Ed Cunningham, and I'm sitting here right next to the real, live, and in-person, I really mean it, Mike McGrath. And we're here very proudly asking your support for one of our signature programs. You didn't know you were a signature, Mike, but you are, at 1-888-345-9499 and online, whyy.org, a program that has been gracing our airwaves now for 14 years.
Thank you, Ed. My signature is totally illegible. I can assure you of that. You know, what was interesting is as we were listening to the end of the call, it almost always ends with thank yous.
Yes.
And we would like to say thank you to our listeners for keeping us on the air for 14 years. But it's time to pony up for year number 15. You know, the bank accounts are empty. There's no coal down in the basement. We need people to make a call at 1-888-345-9499. Or come online at whyy.org and pledge support for my show, not these other shows. I don't care about other people. I want people to call during my show. 1-888-345-9499. Men are needy. You know this, Ed.
You know what I love about this, Mike, is your head is turned. All of the folks from the roller derby of the roller girls are standing or sitting, turning around. It's like, whoa, this is a slightly different approach than we've been hearing all morning long. It's all been very proper. Things have changed. All kidding aside, if you do like Mike's program, if it has meant something to you, if it has given you a greener thumb or 10 green fingers throughout these last 14 years, and maybe your toes too, call now and make it possible and do it for a 15th year at 1-888-345-9499 or online, whyy.org. I'll never forget the time, Mike may remember this, back 13 years ago, we had a special event here at the station. I was at a table with Mike, and people were allowed to come in, and people came rushing over to our table, and I'm saying to myself, isn't that lovely? My fans are coming to see me at the table. Well, they nearly trampled me to get to Mike because they wanted to see him so much. Here's your opportunity to tell Mike McGrath via a pledge what his program means to you at 1-888-345-9499.
And they have scant seconds in which to show that appreciation, Ed. This is a very short pledge drive. We're going back to the show in just about 1 minute. So we should tell them for a pledge of $60, they can ask for the You Bet Your Garden Flower Pot Coffee Mug, unlike anything else in your home, unless you have one already. 1-888-345-9499.
$5 a month, by the way, Mike.
Or for $60, a pledge of $60, which also works out to $5 a month. What are the odds on that, Ed? My brand new, newly revised You Bet Your Tomatoes book with all sorts of full-color picture and all sorts of new information. And you'll hear about other things when you talk to our fine volunteers. But make that call now. We're going back to the show. make that call at 1-888-345-9499.
And thanks.
Scott Arboretum's Fall Festival supports WHYY and presents author David Culp launching his book, The Layered Garden, on Sunday, October 21st at 4 p.m. The book is about the layering of Brandywine Cottage and the lessons David learned from 20 years of gardening there. The presentation will be about the collaborative effort his garden has been over the years and personalities that have shaped both the garden and David's life. More information at 610-328-8025 or scottarboretum.org.
Live Nation is proud to support WHYY. February 16th, international singer Sarah Brightman comes to the Tower Theater. Tickets and information online at livenation.com and thetowerphilly.com.
Burpee, the national supplier of seeds, plants, and bulbs, supports You Bet Your Garden and reminds gardeners that fall is the ideal time to plant gourmet garlic, perennial plants, bulbs for spring blooms, and especially fruit plants. More information at burpee.com.
Welcome back to the 14th anniversary show of You Bet Your Garden. I'm your host, Mike McGrath. How are we celebrating 14 years under our belt in the move into year 15? By giving you a dozen things to do outside this fall. You'll get a better garden out of it. We're also taking your fabulous phone calls at 1-888-346-9499. John, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hey, good day to you, Mike. How are you?
I am doing just fine, sir. How is John today?
John has a couple questions regarding I have an heirloom fig tree, which has actually grown and sprouted into orchard-like proportions. It takes up probably about half of the backyard, which is at a property that I have. It sits on top of an old well, and the root ball is approximately, I guess, 6 feet in diameter.
And where is this?
This is in Brookhaven, PA.
Okay.
Okay, it's been there for years. I bought this house a couple years back, and it was owned by, a man who was a gardener. He planted this tree many years ago, and it sprouted most likely about 100 shoots off of it. And every year, there's a little run that goes underneath, too, and it constantly feeds the plant. So if there's a drought, it doesn't matter. It gets water, and it leaches the nutrients out of the old septic that it sits on, the septic.
Oh, yeah. There are some amazing vines, some monster vines in Philadelphia and Center City backyards that we discovered were growing out of old privies.
Yeah, exactly. My question is, every year I get bumper crop figs. I grow it all organic. I don't spray anything on them. They come out about three-quarters the size of a golf ball, the smallest ones. But what I wanted to do now is I live up in a couple miles away. I live in Media, and I want to transplant a couple of the branches, like take some cuttings, and I wanted to know the best way I can give these the best start I can in terms of the best time of year to do it and, the size of the cuttings and type of root start or what I need to get these things in and germinated and have some roots growing and get the figs spread up the media.
Well, you could not have an easier task, John. Figs want to root. They are the easiest plants to propagate. So if you fail at this, John, you're a loser, man. You're the bottom loser.
Oh, boy, so I should take a number. Okay.
No, you're going to have a lot of fun. This is the kind of thing that deceives people into thinking they're good gardeners.
Okay.
So what you want to do is just leave it alone. Have you been protecting it over winter? Do you wrap it?
I've never wrapped the thing, and I've had this property for over 10 years, and
so,
every year it goes down and it comes back. When the cold weather sets in and the figs that haven't ripened wither, I make sure that I go along the branch and take all the dead, I deadhead it off. I take all the old fruits that didn't ripen and let that sit, and then, but no, I don't wrap it in like roofing felt or anything,
okay.
Any of the old things that they did.
Well, and apparently you don't have to. It is always a good idea to clean up any fallen fruit or any fruit that's still hanging on the tree. The time to prune a fig is when it starts regrowing in spring. And then you should theoretically prune off any areas of winter damage, because you do get some winter kill on the outskirts of the plant, right?
Yes, dead wood.
Yeah.
You know, they're like reeds.
Yeah, and you just prune that off when the fig starts growing again in the spring, and that's how you're going to maintain the mother fig. But then you're going to watch as the plant begins to grow in the spring, it'll produce these new, and you're used to these new long green tender shoots. That's what you're going to take to your new location, and you have two choices. You can either do it like an American, or you can do it like an Italian. If you want to do it like an American, you get a nice bag of potting soil, and you'll get a bunch of pots, and you'll put each fig cutting very gently. You don't want to injure the cut part into the potting soil, and keep that soil constantly moist until the cutting regrows, and then you take it out of that and you plant it in the ground. An old Italian would probably just find some nice fertile soil in a protected location, dig little holes and put the cuttings right in the ground and make sure they got like a hose dripping at the base every other day for like an hour until they had new growth on them.
Okay.
You can expect success from almost all of your cuttings, man. I mean,
right.
this is not like where you're going to get one in five, like when you do roses from a cut bouquet.
Okay.
This is, be careful, because you're probably going to get a fig tree for every cutting you put in the ground.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for the advice, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right. Good luck, John.
Thank you.
1-888-346-9499. Rosemary, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Aloha from Hawaii, Mike.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Sorry. No, I'm not kidding.
In Hawaii, a gardener's paradise. What are you calling to taunt me as we get ready for the onset of winter, as our days get shorter and the nights get colder and we dream of ice dams on our roof?
Well, if I can taunt you and get an answer to my question at the same time, that'll be an extra bonus.
So what can we do for you in the Hawaiian paradise?
Well, along with the beautiful paradise, of course, we have the humidity and the warmth year-round, so that can cause other problems. But my main question is confusion about watering foliage, because I have a wide variety of plants, including fruits, vegetables, flowers, ferns, etc., trees, bushes, and I've been hearing that some plants, such as squash, you're supposed to only water at the base of the plant to prevent powdery mildew. But then I also read where it's good to spray the leaves because that disperses aphids. And so I'm just kind of confused and wondering if there's some kind of a watering chart or some kind of information so that I'm not causing more problems on some plants but helping other plants.
Absolutely. It's a very common question. You can do a lot of harm and you can do a lot of good by watering either incorrectly or correctly. Now, if you are ever going to water the leaves of your plant for whatever reason, some people just have impact sprinklers, very important to only do that in the morning so that the plants can dry out as the day progresses. You never want to water your plants in the evening if you're going to wet their leaves. Wet leaves overnight are a disease breeder.
Okay, and that holds true even in a warmer climate then, maybe even more so, huh?
It's even more so, and we're always, as gardeners, fighting the fact that Mother Nature often waters our plants in thunderstorms in the early evening. And that's bad for our plants, which, of course, were not the plants that were there before we put in a vegetable garden and stuff. They're not the native plants. So
right. You
can't stop nature from wetting your leaves overnight, but you can stop you from wetting your leaves overnight. You're never going to do wrong by watering at the base of a plant. Some plants do like to be misted in the early morning. In the early morning, every part of a plant, their pores, their cells are open to receive water. They can receive it through their roots. They can receive it through their leaves. So a nice misting early in the morning is good for some plants. The worst plants to wet their leaves are the drama queens of the garden, lilacs, roses, and tomatoes.
Oh, boy. Okay.
They should always be planted where they get morning sun. They should always be watered at the base. You should do everything you can to prevent their leaves from being wet overnight. So the rule, if you have normal soil, that soil that has some organic matter in it in addition to sand, is an inch, maybe 2 inches of water a week, preferably delivered in one or two long soakings at the base of a plant, will keep your plant super healthy. But what you heard about aphids is correct. If you get an infestation of aphids on plants like peppers or roses, you do use water to get rid of them, but not by wetting the leaves, so to speak. What you do is you go out first thing in the morning with a hose nozzle that has multiple settings, set it to one of these laser beam-like settings, and then you cradle the plant with one hand and you blast the aphids off very specifically with the sharp streams of water.
Oh, that's good to know.
And all of this information, this is such an important topic, we did a big article about it. So if you go to the website, go to You Bet Your Garden, go to Garden Answers A to Z, and go to W, there's an article called Wise Watering that will hold your hand through any kind of watering dilemma. And anytime you have an insect like aphids, the instructions for using water as a pesticide are probably down under W, but they're also up there under A for aphid. You get powdery mildew, go down to P for powdery mildew. There's all these kind of tricks. So there's a lot of information you can use at the website. But I'm glad you called for two reasons. First, I love getting calls from Hawaii and other exotic places, but it's always good to repeat this watering information. A lot of people have been told to water in the evening, to wet the leaves of their plants, and that's just never going to be helpful. And in a humid climate, it can just destroy your garden.
Thank you so much, and I really do enjoy your show, and I listen to, you know, your webcast and so forth, and it's just very entertaining and informative, and just love your show. Thank you so much.
I'll be a little warmer this winter thinking of you listening.
Okay, thanks so much, Mike.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Oh, the always, always a charming way that Mike McGrath has with the listeners, some of whom are as far away as Hawaii. Absolutely amazing. And Mike is with us right now, right here live in Pledge Central.
Stuck here on 6th Street.
Stuck here on 6th Street with you.
It's freezing outside. Send us money. 1-888-345-9499. Help us out. We need coal for the furnace.
And don't forget that web site, too, as a matter of fact. You heard the lady saying that she checks out the webcast with Mike, and you can make a pledge online, too, for Mike and his program, celebrating 14 years on the air here in the Delaware Valley and beyond at whyy.org. Boy, oh boy, that's a long time. But if there's anybody I know in this world, Mike McGrath, who has that kind of volume of information on this subject, it's you.
Yeah, I got your volume right here. That's never been a complaint. 1-888-345-9499. Please do show your appreciation for all the work we do put in the show. It may not be apparent because I'm such a jerk, but, you know, we actually do a lot of research. We try to know what we're talking about. We try to help gardeners out all around the world, which I find really interesting. All of a sudden, the podcasts have exploded in popularity, and I enjoy talking to people in Hawaii, in Great Britain, in Dubai, on Wake Island. It's all these people call in, and for them, they're not a million miles away. They're in a garden. They're in the same place we are. And that's what brings gardeners together. And I really enjoy hearing about the experiences of people in California and Minnesota and how different everything is and how it's the same. 1-888-345-9499. Keep us national. Keep us local. Keep us international.
Keep us on the air.
With decent shoes to wear. And we want to give some work to the Penn Jersey Roller Derby and the Philly Roller Girls over here.
Yeah. Special event tonight, as a matter of fact, Mike.
I find it very appropriate to have them here. I feel like my show is always kind of screaming up the rail, trying to get ahead of the next person. Yeah, they're having a big show tonight in Fishtown at the Walking Fish Theater. Two shows, 8 and 10. Burlesque, I hear.
Sounds juicy and saucy to me.
Take it out.
So I'm sure that's probably two of the skaters, too. Juicy and saucy.
There you go.
1-888-345-9499. We also have one of the roller dudes here, Mike, by the way, and he has his nom de guerre on the back of his T-shirt, which is Dudley Do-Wrong.
There you go. Like I wonder if he's a good guy.
Oh, I am sure he will. They go back and forth on those things. You're never quite sure. Anyway,
I'm
the right
your
thing to do.
Gardening good guy.
You're darn right you are, and you have been for 14 years, and you will be for years to come.
If people call
1-888-345-9499 or pledge online, WHYY.org. 2 minutes left to go. Mike, just enough time to, first of all, for me to remind everybody that Mugshot's Coffee House has been giving us coffee and pastries and so forth.
Where's mine?
Going. Oh, it's waiting for you, my man. Waiting for you over there.
Ed ate all the pastries, so please make a contribution because I have
more.
To go out to Starbucks and get myself a lemon muffin or something.
I'm sure Mugshot just loves to hear that.
1-888-345-9499 or online at WHYY.org. For a pledge of $60, you can have your choice of my brand new, newly revised, with full color photos, paperback tomato growing book. Get ready for next season, or for the same generous pledge, or actually a different pledge of $60, the famous You Bet Your Garden coffee pot, a flower pot coffee mug. It looks like a flower pot. It works like a coffee mug. It says HYY. It says You Bet Your Garden. That's four different things right
there. That's all you can ask in a mug right there. It can't do any more than those four things.
Four things for $60. That's $15 a thing. Come on.
$5 a month for the next year. Think about what you would spend for anything of any value at all. In the next month, $5.
So instead of spending it on something of value, spend it on my show.
No, you can't get anything of value for $5 a month except for this show now.
I think Ed is making fun of me, ladies and gentlemen. 1-888-345-9499. Stand up for me. I'm getting beaten up here. We need those phones ringing. We need these roller derby warriors to be working hard for us. 1-888-345-9499. We are going back to the show. Right now, Ed, we got to get them to call. We got to get them to go online at WHYY.org.
And we have 5 seconds left to do it, and that is a tall order, but let's try anyway. Call.
Bartlett Tree Experts supports WHYY and offers the removal of hazardous trees and scientific treatments including pruning and disease diagnoses. Locations in Montgomery, Chester, and Bucks counties and Cherry Hill, New Jersey. More information at bartlett.com.
Burpee, the national supplier of seeds, plants, and bulbs, supports You Bet Your Garden and reminds gardeners that fall is the ideal time to plant gourmet garlic, perennial plants, bulbs for spring blooms, and especially fruit plants. More information at burpee.com.
Welcome back to You Bet Your Garden. I'm your host, Mike McGrath, and we're in the stretch now of our 14th anniversary show. Yes, it's hard to believe. This marks 14 years of You Bet Your Garden on the air. Thank you for your support. How are we going to leap into year number 15? By putting you to work. We got a dozen chores you should do outside this fall to achieve horticultural happiness. We'll tell you all about them after a couple more of your fascinating phone calls at 1-888-346-9499. Steve, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hi, Mike. I'm calling from beautiful Berks County, Pennsylvania.
Very good. A suburb outside of Philadelphia. What can we do for Steve in Berks County?
Well, where I live, we have a lot of mushroom farms.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Redding is in Berks County, and Redding is the second biggest mushroom grower in the country and perhaps the world.
I believe that. It is a huge business out here.
Yes, and you're right in the middle of it. Kennett Square, PA, which is in a different county than you, that is the largest mushroom-growing region. But Redding has a huge mushroom industry. So you have to be, I know you're not calling about mushrooms, you got to be calling about the spent mushroom soil.
Absolutely. It is everywhere here. It is $10 a yard, and I use it for everything. My question is, what is it made of? What does the industry do to it, and is it safe for organic gardening?
Well, you realize you're asking the question after you've moved into the house, don't you see? Here's the deal. There's basically two kinds of mushroom soil. There's fresh and aged. When they get ready to grow mushrooms, almost all white button mushrooms, these like very low nutrition but very popular mushrooms that are sold in grocery stores, they make up a very hot mixture of fresh horse manure, ground corn cobs, spoiled hay, and then some natural nutrients like green sand. But a large component of it is fresh horse manure because the mushrooms need heat and moisture. So these are loaded into trays. The trays are used to grow just two or three runs of mushrooms. And then what happens is these fungi have used up most of the fungal nutrients in this soil, and so the soil is moved out of the mushroom house when the mushrooms start to get smaller, and new soil is brought in. And as you can imagine, only growing two or three runs from each batch, you do get these enormous amounts of used mushroom soil, which is called spent because it's spent for growing mushrooms, but it hasn't yet grown a green plant. And their nutrient needs are very different. So this is a very nutrient-dense material. However, when it comes out of the mushroom house, it is hot. It is steaming. It stinks. And it is literally physically hot with heat and hot with excess nitrogen. So it is generally too hot to use on any plants. So when you buy a load of fresh mushroom soil where you get the best deal, you're supposed to let it sit and compost down for a year. It'll reduce down to at least half its size, maybe smaller. It'll lose the smell. It'll lose the heat. Then it becomes much safer to use. One of the problems is that many mushroom farms, at the end of the process, all mushroom farms have to treat the soil to make sure that mushrooms don't grow in your garden. I mean, it's literally a favor to you because you spread real mushroom soil that wasn't treated at the end, you'd have a garden of white button mushrooms. So many of the farms treat the soil with formaldehyde, which is very toxic and kills all the fungi. The better mushroom farms have steamers, and they will steam the soil. So the first thing you want, if you're going to be handling this, inhaling it, using it, touching it, growing food with it, is you want to ensure that your mushroom soil is aged and was steamed rather than treated with formaldehyde. Although, if you want to go for the gold, there are organic mushroom farms out there that use no chemicals in the growing process and, of course, don't use formaldehyde at the end. They all steam their soil. If you can get organic mushroom soil, soil from an organic mushroom farm, that's ding, ding, ding. That's like a prize from the top shelf.
Wow.
So we use the term mushroom soil or spent mushroom soil or mushroom substrate as if it was one material. But in reality, you've got the organic, you've got the conventional, you've got the steamed, you've got the formaldehyde, you've got the fresh, and you've got the aged. So there's a lot of adjectives in play. Just have to remember, it can be very strong, and the test result will tell you what the nutrient levels are. So with mushroom soil, even when it's aged, less is more. Never use more than an inch in your garden.
Okay, great. Well, hey, that's fantastic information. I really appreciate it.
Hey, I live in Pennsylvania too. That was my first garden. If you live in our part of the country, you better know about mushroom soil, right?
Absolutely.
All right, Steve. I hope you have a great mushroom soil amended garden.
Thank you very much, Mike. Love your show.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
1-888-346-9499. Caroline, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, Caroline. How are you?
Oh, I'm having tree issues.
And where is Caroline's tree?
Well, I live in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and I got the tree. It's a dwarf citrus Meyer lemon tree.
A classic. And,
yes, and I got it as a gift, and it already had two lemons on it. They're really small, really green. And it was beautiful weather, hadn't quite hit the blazing hot summers yet, so I put them outside. Well, started to flower, things were great. All of a sudden, heat wave hit. Outside one afternoon, boom, flowers fell off, started looking pretty grim. So I brought it inside. He has since lived inside ever since, and it has not started flowering again. And the lemons haven't seemed to develop at all. They're still really small, really green.
Okay, so you do realize in Oklahoma City, Caroline, that the outdoors are not fit for human habitation.
No, I know, I know. It was like one afternoon, and I tried to rush home and bring him inside, and I was too late.
Oh, one afternoon? You mean the searing winds have stopped this year? They just came back for one day? Indoor citrus are very unusual plants. They violate most of the rules of house plants. Typically, my understanding, I don't grow them myself. I can't grow everything. I will tell you that when we're done talking, you should go to our website. And okay. you should go to youbetyourgarden.org and click on Garden Answers A to Z and go to C for indoor citrus. We did.
Oh, I went to T for trees.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a little imprecise, shall we say. What kind of light is it getting inside?
I will say at least 4 hours of sunlight through a great big old bay window.
Okay, so it's in a bay window, a window that extends out.
Yes.
Okay, and it's well insulated?
Ish. Yeah. House was built in 1930, so not really.
Okay, see one of the issues with the plants like this is they don't like any kind of a draft, a hot draft or a cold draft.
Okay, so, by an air conditioning vent.
That's not good for it either.
Okay, I'll move it.
Okay. What indoor citrus needs is a very naturally rich soil. They like to be potted up in almost pure compost, or they would if they didn't need excellent drainage, which they also need. You want to go out and get a soil-free mix. In other words, it'll be just peat, perlite, vermiculite, and some compost. You want to get some high-quality compost, and you want to mix them up half and half, this light, loose, soil-free mix. Don't get anything that has chemical fertilizers in it.
Okay.
Don't get anything with water holding crystals. You just want a true what's called a professional mix.
Okay.
Mix that 50-50 with compost. Repot the plant and then make sure it stays constantly moist but drains well. If there's a saucer underneath it, don't let water collect in the saucer.
You want to
keep that, but you don't want that potting mix to dry out. I'm amazed it survived 12 hours outside.
I know.
In Oklahoma.
I felt so bad.
Because your wind is so vicious.
Oh, it's terrible.
And
it's terrible.
I know. I've been there. I'm still missing that part of my face.
Right.
but, you know, wind wicks moisture out of plants. There's no worse thing you could have. Well, there's a lot of worse things you could have done to citrus, but that was one of the worst. So I want you to position it in this bay window where it gets a lot of light. But I also want you to get a regular household thermometer and put it right up against the bay window. Let's see how cold that gets at night. And if it gets really cold near the window, you have to keep the plant away from the windows. You will probably get flowers this winter. It's my understanding that they tend to flower and fruit in the off season comparatively to our summer crops. And if those green lemons are still on there, there's every chance that they could survive and start growing again once they get the right conditions.
Oh, okay. So I didn't realize it flowered in the winter. Okay, great.
But give it the right conditions and be patient, because it is a tree. And a lot of people have success in getting nice lemons off these plants.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
All right, Carolyn. Good luck.
Thanks.
Take care. All right. As promised, it's a super short pledge drive version of a dozen things to do this fall and one big don't. Number one, pot up your impatiens, begonias, and pepper plants and bring them inside before nights drop below 40 degrees. They'll live for years if protected from frost. Number two, rinse off all plants with sharp streams of water before you bring them inside. Number three, move plants inside over a period of several days to prevent shock and leaf loss. Number four, don't feed indoor plants other than potted citrus over the winter, and water indoor plants very lightly over the winter. Number five, hang suet feeders outside to attract pest-eating birds like chickadees, wrens, and woodpeckers. Number six, protect edible bulbs like tulips from evil squirrels by mulching the bed with dog hair to hide the scent. Number seven, don't feed evil squirrels. Humans who deliberately feed squirrels create problems for themselves and every other gardener in the neighborhood. Number eight, if you haven't planted garlic yet, do it soon. Number nine, if you have a cool season lawn and haven't fed it yet, do it soon. Number 10, plant pansies now for bloom that will last through July in regions that have or get mild winters. And be sure to eat those flowers. Number 11, if you're planning on buying a live Christmas tree, dig the planting hole now. Number 12, plant new trees and shrubs now. Number 13, but do not prune anything now. Pruning stimulates new growth, which can prove fatal to plants as temperatures plummet. For details on all the hows and whys of our Get Dirty Dozen, read the full-length article at the You Bet Your Garden section of GardensAlive.com.
Already, are you ready to pot up your impatiens and plant your pansies? I want you to do one thing before you do all of that. I want you to get to your phone and call this toll-free number. Then you can plot your impatiens all you want. 1-888-345-9499. Or if you want to pledge online to WHYY, it's WHYY.org. Because you know you love this show. You know you've loved it for 14 years. You know it's made you a better gardener. And because Mike McGrath is sitting here and he's going to be very upset and crestfallen, crestfallen if you don't call around his show.
I'll be more than crestfallen. I got a posse here. I got the Penn Jersey Roller Derby. Yeah. And yeah. The Philly Roller Girls, they will come and they will get a donation from you one way or the other. So let's make this easy on you. Become a member of your own free will before something tragic might happen.
You can do it the easy way or the hard way.
1-888-345-9499. Put these capable skaters to work answering your phone calls. WHYY.org is also an option, but I want to see these people picking up the phone at
that's 1-888-345-9499. Yeah.
888-345-9499. Ed, tell them about the wonderful gifts we have to offer.
Why, thank you very much, Mike McGrath. I'll take it away right now. Number one, you have your choice. For $5 a month, you have your choice of either the You Bet Your Garden Flower Pot Mug. That's right. It's a mug in the shape of a flower pot. If you're listening to WHYY, you probably have 432 mugs by this point, but you don't have one that's in the shape of a flower pot. So get this one for a $5 a month pledge for the next year at 1-888-345-9499. An instant conversation piece if I ever saw one. Or how about this one? The updated edition of You Bet Your Tomatoes paperback book. Oh, it's a beauty. Everybody loves tomatoes. Nobody more than me. And you can have that one for a $5 a month pledge. Keep Mike from getting crestfallen. Keep this wonderful show on the air for another year beyond the 14 that we're celebrating. And you can do all of that in the next 3 minutes or so at 1-888-345-9499 or online at WHYY.org.
Ed makes a good point, but then even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Oh, wait a minute.
We are running out of time for you to show support for my show.
Actually, I am sure of that.
It's only this day, this time, this hour that we're asking you to show support for my show. And these pledge drives mean something. We love our listeners, but we really need our listeners to become members. I want everyone who takes the advice from my show to be supporting WHYY, who allows me to deliver that advice to you every Saturday afternoon for 14 years now. Let's make sure year number 15 is safe and secure. You got to pony up. 1-888-345-9499. As Ed has pointed out, we have two wonderful thank you gifts at the $60 level. If you are feeling generous, we also have my fabulous kitchen garden box, a book in a box, a recipe box full of gardening instructions and seed-saving envelopes for a generous pledge of $120. Makes a great gift. I don't know, might there be holidays coming up that people might want a nice gift for gardeners? Well, you can give them a nice gift and become a member of WHYY and support my show and support public radio and be a better and more decent person in the world today with one phone call at 1-888-345-9499. Or you can go online at WHYY.org if that's your cup of tea.
I think it'll be more fun to make that pledge on the phone at 1-888-345-9499. I dare say, Mike, that there are probably few occasions in one's life in which you can call up a Philly roller person, either
I'm
girl
so
or guy.
Honored.
Yeah. Really, you should be. It doesn't happen often, but this is the moment now. They're great kids. They have that great event tonight at the Walking Fish in Fishtown. A couple of burlesque shows tonight. That's
8 and 10 p.m.
8 and 10 p.m. That's a little fundraiser for them. But before they raise funds for themselves, they're starting their day by helping us raise funds for public media, and that's a great thing on their part. Call them up and see how great they can be. And, Mike, I'm hearing the call starting to roll in. It's a nice sound at 1-888-345-9499. But my word, in through all this lovely chit-chat we've been having, we have a scant 2 minutes left.
We have a scant 2 minutes left, and we need to get those calls to support. We need to support my show, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you who've been listening realize I have no actual skills. If you don't call 1-888-345-9499,
I'll tell you that,
and keep me on the air, I'll be washing your window at the stoplight at 6th and North Street for quarters. Come on. Save yourself. Make that phone call. 1-888-345-9499. One phone call does it all. You show your support for my show, for organic gardening, for WHYY, and for public radio. That's absolutely serious. You keep all those good things going, each of them important. But it all comes down to you. If you are a listener, if you're a lapsed member, we want you back. We want you on. We want you to join our community here at HYY. Ed, you know, they get invited to special events. Yep. We hold all sorts of fun schmageggy here. They get discounts at area institutions for being a member. But mostly, it starts with a call. 1-888-345-9499. In 1 minute, it won't count for my show anymore.